You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And Jim Rohn quoted that. There's never been a truer statement. So if you want to go places, you've got to get around people that have been there or are going there. You got to pick your friends wisely, you know, the people that you're spending the most time with, because it rubs off on you. And I hang out with movers and shakers, and I hang out with people that have been there and done that, or they're headed there, because that way it gives me great inspiration. It really edifies me and encourages me to go to the next level. So we're very intentional, Jürgen, in the friends that we have, and we pick them very carefully.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Aaron Walker, a businessman, a life coach, and he's inspired many through his leadership, his mentorship, and consistent pursuit of excellence. Aaron is also the author of a book called View from the Top, and he's founder of the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Academy, a community of awesome coaches who are transforming their clients in highly impactful ways. The Transformational Marketing Academy is full of marketing tips and information. I think you'll find the posts and information really helpful, and I'd love to have your insights and input to add to the mix. You can join the Academy on LinkedIn by visiting innovabiz.co/TMAC. That's innovabiz.co/TMAC. There's no charge to join. And while you're at it, you might want to download our transformational marketing map at innovabiz.co/TMMAP, T-M-M-A-P. In our discussion today, Aaron talked to me about creating a culture of exceptional customer service by doing more than what is expected and being exceptional at every step of the customer interaction. We talked about the power of mastermind community and how that can contribute to your success. And we talked about the mindset of an entrepreneur. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Aaron Walker. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Nashville, Tennessee in the USA, Aaron Walker, a businessman, a life coach who has inspired many through his leadership, his mentorship, and his consistent pursuit of excellence, something that I'm really keen to follow up on. So welcome to the podcast, Aaron. It's a privilege to have you here.
Jürgen, thank you, buddy. It's a privilege to be here.
Dave Sanderson, who was a guest on episode 134 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we interview you on the podcast, and he introduced us. So a big hello to Dave.
Dave is an amazing guy. He's been in our mastermind group now for a couple of years, and he is one fine gentleman. So thank you for making the invitation for me to be on your show as well.
Yeah. All right. And you mentioned mastermind. So you also run the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group, which is dedicated to the pursuit of excellence. And as I said, I'm really keen to pursue that. I love that term, pursuit of excellence. It's something that I aspire to. So I'm really keen to explore that some more today. Now, before we start talking about all things business and entrepreneurship and innovation, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. So as a young child, what did you want to do when you grew up?
You know, I don't know that I had a necessarily one specific thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a business person because I come from three generations of entrepreneurs. I didn't really have anything picked out, but what I did know is I didn't want to work for somebody else. I wanted to work for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I guess you learn coming through those three generations of business people. So when did you start your first business?
You know, I started working for a local pawn shop when I was 13 years old. And then when I was 15, Jürgen, I decided I wanted to do that professionally. And I went to summer school and night school for about 18 months, had enough credits to graduate at the beginning of my junior year in high school. Met a couple of guys that had a lot of money because I didn't really have any. And so I made a proposal to them to go into business. And at 18, I was a third owner in a local pawn shop. And then a year later, got married. I told my wife, we can't mess this up because we may never get this chance again. And we poured all the money back into the business. And I repeated that four times. And then when I was 27, I sold out to a Fortune 500. So to answer your question, I was 18 years old when I started my first business.
Mm, that's fascinating. So is entrepreneurship and business sense something that you kind of are born with, or you know, did it kind of come into the crib for you because of the three generations of business owners, or is it something that you taught yourself?
You know, for the most part, I taught myself. My father was a great man, had great character, but he was a terrible business person. He didn't do very well in business at all. My grandfather did okay in business, but he wasn't all that great at it either. But I watched my dad work so hard physically. He was a general contractor. I just said, I don't want to do that hard. I don't want to work that hard physically when I get older. And so I started studying and reading and really learning how to do customer service well. And we built a number of successful companies. To date, we've owned 14 businesses, and I've been an entrepreneur now 40 years.
Mm. Yeah, and that experience is certainly coming to the fore. Now, you're also, I think I mentioned, the author of the book View from the Top, although maybe I skipped that part. So you're the author of the book View from the Top. We talk about your own journey, and you give a lot of inspirational and excellent advice, in my view, to anyone that wants to be an entrepreneur. And I think there's some gems in there that I'd love to explore some more. So one of the ones, because you do tell a story in the book about starting up that first, or getting into that first business of the pawn shop. And I think when you first put the proposal, they said no. Is that right? And you made the comment that your attitude is no's just today's answer.
Right, right. Well, the pawn shop industry, I didn't even know what it was until 2 weeks after I worked there. And I asked the guy that owned it when I first started working for him, I said, what is a pawn shop? And he said, we loan people money. They bring things in, for people listening to this that don't know what a pawn shop is. They leave merchandise for 30, 60, or 90 days. We loan them money and they come back and pick it up. They pay an interest rate and they pick it up, and then they can either bring it back at a future date if they want to, or if they don't want it, they leave it and we sell it and recover our money. So it's a very simple business. It's nothing difficult at all. And when I first got into the business, I loved it because of the people. That's what I loved about it. It was so diverse. There were so many things that we could deal with. I just fell in love with dealing with the people. And so the industry itself is not that difficult, but I just absolutely love that possibilities of what it could be. And as you pointed out, my mom had a saying when I was a child, can't, couldn't do it, and could did it all. And what that means to me is if you've got to believe you can do it first yourself. And she would say, you know, no just means no for today. It doesn't necessarily mean no forever. And as you pointed out, I wrote the book View from the Top, and I wanted Seth Godin to endorse the book. And so I sent it to him and had my heart set on Seth Godin, you know, endorsing my book. And he turned me down. He said, no, he said, Aaron, I'm sure it's a good book, but I don't have the time to read the manuscript. And so I'm going to have to decline on the endorsement. So, you know, we launched the book and it did well. And then I wrote another book, and the book is called The Mastermind Blueprint. And it's telling people how to build their own mastermind. And I sent it to Seth again. And I said, listen, you didn't endorse the first book. I hope that you would consider endorsing this. And he loved it. And I got a rave review, and he sent it back, and the endorsement's right on the front cover. And my point in telling you the story is just because you get turned down once don't mean that you can't ask again. And so 100% of the time when you don't ask, the answer is no.
That's right.
But when you do ask, you at least have an opportunity.
Hmm. And what I like about that too is that you're totally detached from the outcome when you ask the question, which I think is a key part of the no is just for today, isn't it? Because so many people would have taken that first rejection by Seth personally and said, well, he doesn't like me, or he doesn't think I'm good enough, or maybe I'm not good enough to get an endorsement from Seth, and then leave it at that, right?
Well, what happens is we take all these things personal and it's not their intention whatsoever. And so I'm a big believer in asking, even if I get a no, that's okay. I'm much closer to a yes. And so just don't ever take it personal.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I can't remember, it's sort of half a dozen episodes or so ago, one of my guests talked about collecting no's. So, keep asking the question and say, oh, I've got another no, and get really excited about it as a strategy for taking away the personal aspect of it. Now, the other thing you talk a lot about in the book is delaying gratification. And, you've told the story about how you got started, and in like a half a dozen sentences, it all sounds rosy and easy and so on, but I'm sure there was a lot of hard work. I'm sure there were setbacks. I'm sure there were a lot of other no's in that journey. So talk to us a little bit about the concept of delaying gratification, because I think that's something that in today's world people find really tough to do.
Well, here's the thing. We live in a microwave society today. Everything is instant. You know, we go through McDonald's, and if they don't get it to us in 20 seconds, we're upset. It's like, where's my hamburger? Where's my coffee? You know, and I'm like, man, slow down for a minute. We're dealing with people here, and there's obstacles to overcome. Sometimes the process or the system didn't work out just as well for them as they had hoped. And we need to calm down just a little bit, because we're dealing with human beings. And when Robin and I got married, I was 19 years old. She was 18 years old. She had just graduated from high school. 2 weeks out of high school, we get married. Well, Robin came from a very similar background as me. She was very, very poor. Her family didn't have anything either. And when I formed this partnership, I told Robin, I said, you know, we may never get an opportunity like this again. We've got to do this right. And what we're going to do is take every dollar that we make, and we're going to pay it on the loan. We had a $150,000 loan. Now, that's a lot of money today, Jürgen, but in the 70s, it was a lot of money, right? Especially when you're 18 years old. And so I told my partners, I said, hey, I'm going to take the money and I'm going to pour it back onto the loan. So we took an $18,000 a year salary. I don't know what that would equate to today, but I said, every dollar we make, we're going to pour it on the loan. Well, I paid a $150,000 10-year loan off in 36 months. And I said, you know, this feels pretty good. Now I'm a broke kid from Nashville, Tennessee, and now we are 21 years old. We have a paid-for business. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do that again. And we did. So we went out onto Knowlesville Road here in Nashville, and we bought a local pawn shop. Same thing. I borrowed the money, and it took me about 3.5-4 years to pay that one off as well. So now, you know, I'm 25, 26 years old, and we have two stores that are paid for. So I go downtown Nashville and I repeat that again and again. And so we kept pouring the money into the business. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to live like no one today, so later we can live like no one else. And so that's exactly what we did. And we positioned ourselves to make enough money for a Fortune 500 to want to buy us, because if we had spent the money on other things, and we could have done that, I could have had a much bigger house, a much nicer car, we could have taken much nicer vacations, but I wouldn't have had something that a Fortune 500 would have wanted. And so by delaying the gratification to a later date, it gave me an opportunity to retire at the age of 27.
Now, I know from, you know, you mentioned it, I think, early in the description of getting involved in the porn industry and how much you loved the people there. But I know from conversations I've had with you prior to the podcast that you're very much focused on the service aspect and being of service. And I think that comes through in some of the other things that we'll explore a little bit later. But talk to us about how important that was to the success of the business.
Well, without a question, it's everything. Customer service, without a question, is the key ingredient. And we discovered that early on in the life of our business. And it's been the very staple of every business that we've owned since. I want to be able to give more than the minimal requirements to get paid. Like a lot of people, here's the thing. People remember how you treat them. That's really the only thing they remember. They don't remember what you have because they don't care. They don't remember the things that you do because that's a benefit to you. But what they remember is how you make them feel. And when you make people feel important, they remember that. And that's the ability that we've taken in all of our businesses, is to have that ability to make people feel special and important. When we were in the palm business, I'll give you a story, and you can apply this to whatever industry you're in. When people would come in to pawn something, they were embarrassed to begin with. They were like already ashamed, and they were embarrassed because they had to borrow money. So they had to bring in their wedding ring or a gun or a TV or something and borrow money against it. Well, you can imagine, Jürgen, how humble you would have to be in order to do that, and how embarrassed that you would be that you've got to take something from your home and bring it in to borrow money. So I picked up on early on in my career, I would notice that they would come into my store and pawn something, and they would go across the street or next door to another shop and pawn something else. So I started interviewing the customers, and I would say, why do you do that? Why don't you just bring everything that you have here, because I'm happy to help you? And they said, well, I'm embarrassed. I don't really want you to know how broke I am. And so we go down the street or across the street or to another pawn shop, and we would borrow money. So I started thinking about that. I said, how can I make these people feel important? So what I did was, is I had these cards printed up, and it looks like an American Express gold card. And on the front of it, I put the letters VIP. And underneath it, I would leave a place that I could write their name. And on the back side, I would have the name of our business and place to put their customer number. So when they would come in, I would write Jürgen and his customer number. And I would say, listen, don't lose this, because in here, you're very important. And not only are you important, I've created a list of things for you to pawn. So here's a list with 50 things on it that we take and pawn. And I want you to come in here once, twice, two times, three times, whatever it is, and pawn every day if you need to. You're welcome to come here. I'll even come to the car and help you bring the merchandise in. Whatever you need to do, I'm here to serve you. Well, as a result of that, it increased our pawn business probably 20-25% annually, just because we talked to people and told them how important they were and how valuable they were. Well, we went on to excel and become the number one pawn shop in Middle Tennessee as a result of that level of customer service. So you think what you could do in your business if you were to make people feel like they were very important. Don't ever forget, they are important, because without them, you're nobody. Mm. If you don't have that customer service and you don't have clients that you're able to give that to on a regular basis, you're really not anybody. So we just kept it at the forefront of our mind in every business that we have, and we've excelled in all 14 businesses as a result of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great message in that. And you did talk in the book and in a lot of the communications and publications that you put out about being exceptional at whatever you attempt. And you describe that as doing more than what's expected. But I think that story you've just told really encapsulates that. And it's really about the experience. I saw something yesterday from another one of our guests who was on the podcast recently, Andrew Davis, and he put this video together, and he told the story of an Uber driver. And I don't remember where this guy drove, but it's worth checking out the loyalty loop by Andrew and looking at that. So what this Uber driver did was he understood this idea of, you know, it's not just a ride from point A to point B, it's the whole experience and how he could differentiate himself. So he found this article in the New York Times, I think it was, that talked about how singing in the car made the time go faster because people were enjoying themselves. And, you know, there was a scientific study that kind of showed some evidence that people felt happier. People, when they felt happier, time passed quicker, so long car rides felt shorter. The experience felt shorter. So he set up basically karaoke inside his Uber, and when people came in, they were invited to sing, and this this set him apart from everybody else, and people started seeking him out. So they didn't just go on the Uber app and book a car. They tried to get this chap on. And I think,
yeah, wouldn't that be fun? You think about it in your business, the things that you do. And when we were in the pawn shop business, we would always keep a whole jar of suckers, and we would give the kids candy, or we would give the kids balloons. And the people would come in, we would shake their hand, we would tell them how important they were. I would always stand on the side of the counter with the customer to eliminate any other barriers. I would feel like I was part of them. I was with them. I was their friend. I was their buddy. I was somebody that was hanging out with them, helping them work through this difficult dilemma. I wasn't on the other side of the counter saying, you know, I'm the guy with the money and I make the rules here. I made them feel comfortable, and I made them feel important, and I treated their children with respect with the candy or the balloons or the suckers or whatever we were giving them out, or I would walk them out to the car. And our stores were big. You know, we were writing 100 loans a day out of these locations. They were big stores, 10,000 square feet. They were very, very nice stores. And we got there because they were immaculate. First of all, they were clean. Everybody in the store was dusting every single day, sweeping the floors, vacuuming, wiping the glass down. We wanted people to feel like they were at home. We wanted them to feel comfortable, and we wanted a clean environment. And so you can translate that into any industry that you're in. Same way now in the business that we're in. I'm a mastermind facilitator, and I coach people all over the world now, and I teach them to do these things in their businesses. And we do videos for people down in our business. I'll do endorsements through video. I'll reach out and call them. We send anniversary cards that are custom made. We send gifts that are called swag gifts. And there's just so many things that you can do today that are the little things that keep people around long term.
Mm, yeah, that's right. And there's no boundaries there, is there? It's just a case of thinking up some things that will make a difference. And as you say, it can be very little things, but it's a whole way of running your business.
I'll give a shout out to John Rulon right now. John Rulon wrote a book called Giftology. And in that book, he teaches you exactly how to do what I'm talking about. And you're talking about an amazing read. And John is a friend of mine as well. And he was the guy with Cutco knives that sold $250 million worth of Cutco knives himself. And some of the strategies that he used then, he put in this book, Giftology. So be sure and reach out and get a copy of that book.
Okay, I will do. I'll check that out, and we'll put a link in the show notes for the audience as well. Now, one of the things you mentioned there in telling that story about how, you know, people were cleaning the store and making sure it looked good and making sure the experience for the customer was, you know, really top-notch and memorable. So what do you do to get that culture and that attitude right throughout your organization? Because obviously with those number of stores, you had quite a number of employees that were working for you.
We did. Yeah, I've had hundreds of employees over the years, and it's all top-down. And I think of Chick-fil-A, great organization. Truett Cathy started that, and his son Dan Cathy runs it now. It's training. And you've got to have ongoing training. You've got to build a culture. You've got to have that camaraderie. You've got to have a feeling of sharing the vision with the people, because if there is no vision, the people perish. And if you don't share the vision often, people scatter. And so you've got to keep it at the forefront of your mind at all times. You've got to have mission, vision, and values. People have got to understand exactly what they're accomplishing and why they're accomplishing it. You've got to do training ongoing. And I required reading. There was books that I required that our management would read. And I would pay them to read these books, but you don't wake up smarter. You don't learn through osmosis. So you've got to be trained and taught. And we did that very intentionally. And companies, and I can go into companies that are bad companies, and I can tell it's from the leadership. It starts at the top. And if you're not demanding that type of customer service and you're not doing it yourself as the leader, the persons that are in key roles, then your employees are certainly not going to do it. And so it all starts from the top down.
Hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful advice. So you've got to be the model as the leader, and then the, you know, making the mission, vision, values clear, and training. And
right.
Yeah, I love the, you know, pay to read.
You know, when Lee Iacocca was with Chrysler, one of the things that he talked about in his biography that he did was he would go out onto the assembly line. He would go out and hang out with the people that were doing the work, Because when you're in an ivory tower and you're giving direction and you're not on the front lines, a lot of the times the things that you're teaching are wrong. But when the people are actually doing the work, you need to spend time with them understanding exactly what their needs and desires are. And you need to be listening to those people rather than just sitting in your office giving direction. And so I'm always out with the people that are doing the work because that's where I learn the best.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that was one of the questions I had on my list here is, so how do you learn today? Because, you know, you've got 38 years of experience. You've had lots of life lessons along the way from that experience, and you know, you're giving advice and mentorship to others. So how do you learn today?
Well, I learned, first of all, through listening to great podcasts like yours. And then I also love TED Talks. I'm a TED Talk junkie. I love TED Talks. Reading great blogs is another way. I'm an avid reader. I read two or three books at a time and keep those going on at all times. I don't know how many books I read annually, but I've been doing that for decades now. I've been in a mastermind group for 20 years. We meet every single week, and I've done that without fail. You've got to surround yourself with people that are headed in the direction that you want to go. You know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And Jim Rohn quoted that. There's never been a truer statement. So if you want to go places, you've got to get around people that have been there or are going there. You got to pick your friends wisely, you know, the people that you're spending the most time with, because it rubs off on you. And I hang out with movers and shakers, and I hang out with people that have been there and done that, or they're headed there, because that way it gives me great inspiration. It really edifies me and encourages me to go to the next level. So we're very intentional, Jürgen, in the friends that we have, and we pick them very carefully.
Hmm. Lots of great advice there. Now, you mentioned Mastermind, and I know you run the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind group right now, but when did you first discover the power of being part of a mastermind?
You know, there's a guy here in the States, his name is Dave Ramsey. Some of your listeners may know who he is and have heard of him, but Dave started a radio show in Nashville back in 1993. And I discovered him in 1995. I was at a Chamber of Commerce breakfast, and he was just launching a radio show, and he came up to me and we started talking, and I invited him to see one of my businesses. And to make a long story short, he offered me free advertising to try him. He said, just try me out. And I said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. He said, I'll give you the advertising if you'll just try me for a week. So I said, well, hey, I'm a young business guy. I'll take that. I got nothing to lose. And I so fell in love with his business and what he was doing, and my business exploded as a result of it. So I signed up, started sponsoring his show, and I spent 21 years sponsoring Dave Ramsey's financial show. And so he and I developed a great friendship out of that. And a couple of years later, he invited me to join his mastermind group. And I said, I don't even know what a mastermind group is. He said, well, come to my office Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock. And he said, I'll introduce you to 10 guys that's going to radically change your life. So I go in, sit down, and I'm a nervous wreck. And there's a guy in there named Ken Abraham. Ken's probably one of the most noted ghost authors on the planet now. He's got over 100 books in print. Dan Miller, 48 Days to the Work You Love. Another guy named Jeff Mosley. He owns INO Records. And all these guys, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so out of my league, you know, being around a lot of these guys. Some of them weren't successful at the time, and some of them were uber successful. And so I started being very vulnerable and transparent, and I fell in love with the process. I let the veil down. I let the wall down, and I started saying, hey, I don't know how to do this or that. They started giving me resources and encouragement, and I learned that strength is gained through authenticity, through transparency. But most alpha males go, no, I don't want to tell anybody. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to let the veil down. I don't want to tell them that they won't like me anymore. And I'm like, there's nothing further from the truth. And when you get around trusted advisors, people that don't have anything to gain or lose as a result of what they tell you, then they're going to tell you the truth. And Jürgen, I don't know about you, but I want to be told the truth. I want to get better. And the only way I can get better is if these guys will tell me the truth. It's radically changed my life. There is no question about the level of success I've had as a direct relationship with the mastermind group, because they told me exactly what I needed to hear. They were always very honest and authentic, and they helped work me through challenges that I've had in my life. And when you do that consistently, week after week, month after month, and then decade after decade, you get a lot of value out of it.
Hmm. So today, most of your time is focused on the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group?
Yeah, the vast majority of my time is. I do coaching one-on-one, and I have about 6 or 8 guys that I coach to help take their business to the next level. But 95% of my time is spent on the mastermind groups. It's called Iron Sharpens Iron. You can find out more about it at viewfromthetop.com. And we help guys understand the paradigm shift that they need, and we help them through accountability. We surround them with ongoing support and resources, and it just takes you to a different level a lot faster when you surround yourself with people that's going to help you get there.
Hmm. Yeah, and obviously your own experience has formed the principles that you run that by.
Yeah, well, it has. We've set up a mission, vision, and values, and everything that we do is run through that grid. Because if you don't have a mission statement and you don't have values and you don't have these systems set up in place, you can't scale anything. And so the first thing we all have to do is establish who we are, what we're doing it for, and establish these core values. And once you do that, it's much easier to grow your business.
Hmm. Now, before we started recording the show, you were telling me that there's 82 men coming to Nashville soon for an in-person right. meeting of this mastermind group.
We do that twice a year, and we usually do it at the end of September and at the end of April. And what we try to do is put a name with a face and try to put flesh on it for people. And we do that twice a year, and it's at my expense. All they have to do is get there. And then I cover the hotel, and I cover all the food and the entertainment and the mastermind sessions. We have keynote speakers that come in and speak. And then we have breakout sessions led by a lot of the mastermind members. It's set up to where there's 10 men that are in a group. And when I say men, that's our niche market. Nothing against women. There's groups out there for women, and there's some amazing groups out there. But our niche market is for men. And so we have a facilitator that facilitates the group, and we have 10 men that meet on Zoom. And we meet every single week at the same time. And we go through this very regimented course related to the 12-week year by Brian Moran, to where you really focus on the task that you want to accomplish in the next 12 weeks. We do man in the middle, to where you really vulnerable and transparent and you share your needs, and then the men circle around you and help you accomplish that. We have an accountability tool that we fill out every single Saturday, and it keeps the top 10 things top of mind, the things you grade yourself on every week, and that's posted in your Facebook group so everybody gets to see your course of action, whether you're increasing or decreasing as far as your score is concerned. And then we have a book that we read every single month, and there's predetermined questions. We cross-pollinate with all the other groups. And as I said, we're in 8 different countries now. We have over 120 men that are meeting in 12 different groups, and we're growing that pretty rapidly. And the value just continues to exponentially increase, because the more people that are in the groups, the more advantageous it is for you to build those relationships. And so there's just so many reasons to be involved in these groups, because it helps you to stop procrastinating. It helps you to prioritize your priorities, and it helps you to live some semblance of order, both personally and professionally.
Hmm. Yeah, well, there's a lot there, and clearly, the level of transparency is very high. So there's no hiding.
No, you're not going to hide. If you're coming to our groups, it's not a coffee club. I mean, we're here to get it done.
Mm-hmm. All right. This has been really great, Aaron. I appreciate all that you've shared with us. And I think respecting your time, it's time we moved on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience, and they're primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions, and hopefully sure. we'll get some really insightful answers that will inspire people to go and do something awesome today. So first of all, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
You know, to be honest, that's a kind of a tough question. But when I think about that, I want to have a clear conscience. I want to get the things out of my life. A lot of people are dealing with issues today that they're dealing with a sense of bitterness. there's things in their life that are undone and they need to complete those. And forgiveness is a big thing for me. And so I teach in my book how that bitterness is its own prison. And when you let things go that are holding you down, you're much more innovative. And so I would just simply say to do a personal assessment of yourself, really look deep inside of you and let the things go that you can't change. And one of those things is bitterness. And when you do that, I promise you, you'll be a lot more innovative.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. So having the self-awareness to know what's holding you back and kind of taking steps to clear that. Great. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
You know, there again, being in mastermind groups, because you only have one filter, you only have one life experience, you can only see things from one perspective, no matter how hard you try. But when you get trusted advisors around you, you have the counsel of the multitudes to depend on. And so when you can look back at 8 or 10 people and they're giving you great ideas, it helps you expound on the way you view things. And so if you're looking for new products or new service ideas, when you get around other people and you really kind of whiteboard or take the time to brainstorm with a group of people, it really opens up new horizons.
Hmm. Yeah, the power of a community like that is quite amazing, isn't it? All right. Number three then is, what's your favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity so that you can be more innovative?
You know, I don't know that I necessarily have a tool. Scrivener is a great tool for writers. There's many productivity tools out there that you can do brain dumps in, and you can use Trello, and there's many tools. But I would probably say Trello is a very good productivity tool to keep everything systematized and in order. So that would be a great tool to start with, Trello.
All right. Okay. And, we've used Trello in the past and there's a lot we love about it. So we'll post links to that on the show notes as well. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves? And perhaps we've already answered that one.
We covered that a little bit in the interview, I believe, but you just want to give more than the customer is requiring. Differentiate yourself in regards to customer service in some regard, and it'll pay big dividends.
Yeah. And like you said in the book and in a lot of the online stuff you've posted, being exceptional by doing more than what's required. And I think I skipped number four, which is, what's the best way to keep a project on track?
Well, it goes back to Trello again. That's another way. The other thing is we have regularly scheduled meetings without fail. Monday mornings, 9 o'clock, we have a team meeting where all of our virtual assistants or the persons that are here in the States are working with us. We get on a call. Communication is paramount. So I would say without a fail, if you're a 2-person team or a 200-person team, you need to have regularly scheduled meetings that you have great communication in.
Yeah. Excellent advice. Thanks for getting us through the buzz, Aaron. That's really good.
I enjoy it. No, it's good.
What's the future for you and for the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind groups?
You know, we're just continue to try to add value. We're just, we don't try to make the sale. We just continue to look for ways that we can add value. And if you add great value, you're going to make the sale automatically. So the future for us is unknown. We just get up every single day and we try to do the right thing, add great value and meet people's needs. And we're growing at a rate of 30 to 40% a year as a result of it.
Yeah, I love those two statements. It's so simple when you say it like that, add great value and continue to be of service. All right. What's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and in innovation and productivity?
You know, I kind of touched on it a little bit in the discussion about the book, but it's all mindset, everything. Carol Dweck wrote another great book called Mindset, where she talks about having a growth mindset, not a fixed mindset. And I just believe I can do it. If you tell yourself you can't, you won't. But if you tell yourself you can, you probably will. Fear holds us back. And I say fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure. And if you'll develop a can-do attitude and not be afraid to fail, I think success is on the horizon.
Hmm. That's such great advice. I really like that. You know, be afraid of missing an opportunity more than fearing failure. And like my business coach says to me all the time, you know, failure is just feedback. It's not, you know, it's nothing to, it's right. Something to learn from. It's nothing to be afraid of, really.
I don't really even believe in failure. I believe you succeed or you learn and you just pivot and turn and you figured out one way that it didn't work. And so it's all mindset, Jürgen. Everything that we do is mindset. We got to spend a lot of time teaching ourselves to think in a positive manner, and success, I promise you, will come your way.
Was it Edison that said, I haven't failed 1,000 times or whatever the number was. I've just discovered 1,000 ways that you can't make a light bulb.
Right, right. And look, if he had quit, what would have happened? We'd be in the dark today.
That's right, All right. Well, thanks, Aaron. This has been really great. Where can people reach out to you and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
I appreciate that, Jürgen. I really enjoyed spending time with you. They can reach out at viewfromthetop.com. If you want to get involved in a mastermind that is life transformational, go online, fill out the application, and let us talk to you about if you're a good fit for this mastermind. I promise you, things will happen in your life far above greater than any expectations you've ever had. We'd love to have you in Iron Sharpens Iron.
Okay, great. And we'll have links to that in the show notes so that you can check it out and get in touch with Aaron. All right, finally, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
You know, I think a person that would be amazing for you to interview would be Seth Buechli. Seth Buechli wrote a book that absolutely is life transformational on leading with gratitude. It's called Ambition. Seth is in our mastermind group as well. Matter of fact, he and I are co-authoring a book right now on Where's My Mentor? And Seth would be an amazing guy for you, would add great value, and I'll be happy to make the introduction.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Aaron. That would be great if you could introduce us. And Seth, if you're listening to this, look out for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Aaron Walker. All right. So thanks, Aaron. I've really enjoyed this immensely, and I really appreciate you coming and sharing your time and your insights with us today on the InnovaBuzz podcast. I've learned a lot today. You've reinforced a lot of the things that I've read in the book and in the other places where you post online. There's a lot of videos that people can watch online, and we'll link to some of those as well. So thanks again. I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
You too, Jürgen. Thank you, buddy.
I hope you enjoyed meeting Aaron and took away some actionable items from the great tips he shared. I particularly loved his explanation on the entrepreneurial mindset and being more mindful about the fear of missed opportunities than of failure. Which, let's be honest, failure is really just another learning opportunity. I also loved his advice about no just being for today. So if you get a no from someone today, that's for today. Ask again tomorrow. That's such good advice. I'd love to know what you took away from Aaron's interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Aaron Walker. That is AaronWalker, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Aaron Walker. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Aaron there, as well as links to the resources that we spoke about. Aaron suggested I interview Seth Buechli of Cathedral Consulting and author of the book Ambition, Leading with Gratitude, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Seth, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Aaron Walker. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/TMAC to join our Transformational Marketing Academy and access all of its marketing tips and information. Stay connected. head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you make sure you'll never miss another episode. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic LinkedIn community at the Transformational Marketing Academy. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMAC. It's free to join. Hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.